Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to Drum and Drummer, a podcast focused on drums, drumming, and drummers. I'm George Pickering, and that's Ben Winty, and we are both professional drummers in this business we call music. So stick around and join us as we pass the time whilst trying to stay in time.
You've now played a real kit live for the last time.
We are back.
Back, baby.
Back in your ears. George, how you doing?
Good. You?
Yeah. Not bad, boy. I was going to jump straight in with...
Go on.
To all those who listened to our episode with Graham Russell.
You had a big breakfast.
No, just some broccoli. And it shot straight up to be our second most downloaded episode ever.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Well, just shows how few downloads we've had.
That's what I was going to say. We won't tell you the numbers.
No.
What it takes to get to second.
Confidential information.
Yeah.
But no, actually, the day the episode came out, I got a phone call from Luke at Graham Russell. It was like, yeah, we'll post all your stuff from our page on their Instagram. But yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
So it was good. Can we say what the number one most listened to episode was?
Yeah, episode one.
Episode one, which is... which
people
means,
listen and then they go, nah, it's not for
yeah,
me.
It's exactly it's not what for happens. Me. That's yeah. exactly what happens.
But that's fine. That's all good. But if you're joining us because you've listened to that episode with Graham, willkommen. Welcome.
Yeah.
Great to have
ben
you.
Ben does like to dip into German sometimes.
Who doesn't like to dip into a German sometimes?
Well,
right, what we good got this start. Week, George?
Well, you've got a lot of stuff, so shall I just let you go?
Well, I think you should do some stuff because I could probably talk about this forever.
Okay. Well, I'll get my bits out of the way.
Get your bits out of the way. Yeah. The amuse-bouche of chat coming up.
I mean, I did a gig with Lennon the other night and I want to talk about the Gretsch Catalina because I've reskinned it.
Who's Lennon?
That was Lennon Taylor.
Yeah, okay.
We've talked about him before. But for new listeners, he is a South England-based singer, artist, musician. Hire him for a function if you need one. If you need a singer for anything, get in touch with him because he's got
Lennon's
voice.
Lennon's in your function band.
He's in my function band.
But you were playing. You were playing a gig with him doing his original stuff.
Thing. Yeah, he does his own thing. He sort of, he's a lone wolf in many ways. But he goes...
He's married, he's a lone wolf. Yeah.
He goes, I want to be a lone wolf, but also I'd like a backbeat, please. So come along with me for the ride, George.
And you did a tune with him in the studio recently as well, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, last year. But that was released recently. As is the case, as you know, people will record something and it'll take up to... Here's a question. What do you reckon is the longest it's taken from someone to first recording session... to release the music?
Well, I had I had a band that we started recording in January 2020 and I think the album came out autumn 2023.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So quite a while.
So point being, and your life changed a lot in Big between year. Jan 2020 and August 2023. So, you know, we recorded that last year, but it was recently released. Anyway.
What's the song called? Tell people to go and listen to it. Hear your drumming.
Let's promote Lennon Taylor for a bit, because I know he listens to this.
Yeah, Lennon.
Oh, no, you don't want
I'm promoting
to.
You, George.
No. We don't need
I'm
to promote
promoting you.
I get
you
to talk
play
about
drums on
every,
this track, yeah?
Every week for at least half an hour. Gator Bone. Listen to Gator Bone by Lennon Taylor, you know.
And hear the George Brown playing the old traps.
And hear me playing the old... The what?
Traps.
Traps.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've listened to it. It's good.
It's cool, isn't it? It's a cool sound. What is
anyway,
a Gator
so you're
Bone?
Doing
a... Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm doing a gig and got to try out the new Gretsch Catalina skinned. Reskinned, baby. And it was great. I realized I didn't have a pillow for the old kick drum. So I just put my coat in there. I'd left my coat at the last gig I did with Lennon. Big fluffy thing. And I went, I'll tell you what, I'll just put that in there. Did the job. And now my coat's still in there. I might just leave my coat in the drum. You know, because summer is round the corner. Don't need it. Next. But yeah, the kit was great. Gig was fun. A lot of different tunes. He sort of plays whatever. I mean, it was in a pub, but he sort of does what he wants. You know, there's a lot of Creedence Clearwater Revival, a lot of that kind of stuff. Some bluegrass shit, you know. But it was just nice. It was nice to play a small kit. Also, I only took two cymbal stands. Here's something. Oh, you like this? So I had a crash on a ride, but I didn't do the usual ride on my right and crash on the left. I went crash on the right. No, ride on... Fuck me. Ride on the right and then crash even more to the right. So then there was no crash on the left. Because Ben Y had to have somewhere to stand, the bass player. And also, Steve Jordan does it of the Rolling Stones. And I was like, that's quite cool. If you watch him, he has no crash on the left. And then on the right, he has about 3 crashes. I was like, well, if it works for big Steve Jordan, let's try it. But it was a fun gig. And I thoroughly enjoyed playing a smaller kit for something that's, you know, a smaller gig. That was it, really. I mean, I know we're going to move. Should we move now onto your new kit?
Yeah, if you
so
want.
So it's not all about me. Because that, I mean, my thing was I got a smaller kit for smaller places. And you've also ergonomically changed your kit setup.
Well, so...
I don't know if that's the right word.
Wedding season is back, baby. Mm. I did my first 2 gigs. I did one last week. I did one, as we're recording this, last night.
Mm.
Monday night. A Monday night wedding. Who'd have thought? Mm. And this gig was electric kit only. I've played there before. Incredibly strict sound restrictions.
Which one?
Last night. Northbrook Park. Yeah.
Have I been there with you?
Don't know.
Ever?
Oh. Don't think so.
I was wondering if it was the wedding we played where the groom was marrying a woman, but it was questionable.
No. No, that was a different place. Yeah. So normally in that situation I would borrow/hire an electric kit from a good friend, Ben the Ox, Hulk Baby Otterson.
Yeah.
And sling him a few quid. But it's one of them ones. It's mishmash pads, but they're quite small, and it's on a frame. Mm. And I'm a big lad. It looks shit. It's uncomfortable to play.
Mm.
It's just meh. You know?
Yeah.
People know what it's like. Yeah. So I thought, you know what? Maybe now's the time I buy myself an electric kit. So I've got a kit. There's so many sound limits these days, especially at wedding venues. So maybe that's something I need to invest in. And then I thought, well, we've spoken about this kind of topic quite a while ago.
where we were talking about sort of hybrid kits and with the big advent of mesh heads, silent symbols, and we were talking about is there a combination that works that you could reduce the volume of your acoustic drums to play them at a gig?
Yeah.
You know, and whether that's replacing using real acoustic shells and putting on mesh heads and using triggers, or how would silent cymbals work at a gig? Blah, 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 blah. Well, I kind of thought about it, George, and I thought one thing that annoys me about about using electric kit is switching over my hardware and stuff from my acoustic kit. I want to take these stands and this thing and each time having to pick apart what I need for the gig. And I know you're in the same boat as me. You want to be like, that's all packed up. That is ready to gig.
Yep.
I don't need to think about it. Just need to take all these things. And I thought, you know what? There's quite a lot of sound limiter gigs coming up. What if I went all in and got myself the kit that could do every gig?
Yeah.
So I was having a little goosey online. I thought, I don't think I want to go down converting an acoustic kit myself. But
to an electric kit?
Yeah.
Is that something you can do? You can get an acoustic kit?
We've spoken about this, George.
I know, but I didn't think you could personally do it.
Yeah, you can take an acoustic 12-inch rack tom, put a silent head on like you've got.
Yeah.
And then put a drum trigger on it.
With the triggers.
Yeah.
I was thinking something different. I'm not sure what I was thinking, but cool.
But there's also been a bit of a boom in electric kits that look like real kits. You've got your Rolands, you've got your F Notes.
Yeah.
I think DW have their own EDW.
Yeah.
And these look like proper shells, and they've done what people are doing, like where they are mesh heading and adding triggers. They're doing it themselves, you know, and selling these kits that are like... So anyway, the Roland...
As our past guest, Kevin Hine, showed us.
Yes, and I thought about him, and I thought about what he had.
I often think about him.
Yeah, yeah, lovely looking lad. And the Roland VAD 504. And I'm like, hello, this looks good.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure this is what Kevin has.
Probably,
pretty
yeah.
sure this is it the looks kit he similar. Has. And I thought, do you know what? I'm going to get it. It's a big investment. I'm going to get it, and I'm going to use it for every gig, even if there's not a sound limiter. So I'm doing what guitarists do. I'm switching to pedal only. You know? I'm Kempering it.
Yeah, big time.
I'm amp simming it, baby. So yeah, but the Roland VAD 504, it's a birch shell kit. It's a 20-inch kick drum, a 10-inch rack, and a 14-inch floor, 14x5 snare drum, and then it comes with two cymbal stands for a crash and a ride, and then there's a tom mount for the rack tom on the crash stand. But then it doesn't come with a snare stand. It doesn't come with a hi-hat stand. But the hi-hats of the Roland, I think they're called the VH-14s, or the where it's two separate pads that you put on a real hi-hat stand, and it actually goes up and down. So you can put them on any hi-hat stand. So I thought, I'm going to take this even further. If I'm doing
this...
Yeah, big time. What I'm going to do is... So I bought a second crash. A separate Roland 16-inch crash. But then I thought, hardware, because I've got all my hardware that's really nice, and my new kick pedal, my new Pearl hi-hat stand. I don't want to keep shuffling that between studio work and gigging and switching it all out. So I was like, I'm going to get myself a whole new set of hardware. But I'm nearly 40. I want to protect my back.
Oh, God, you're back. Yeah, Christ.
So I bought a set of Yamaha Crosstown hardware.
Yep.
So I bought a pack which comes with a snare stand, a hi-hat mm-hmm. stand, and mm-hmm. two straight stands.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also bought another individual snare stand for my rack tom, because I put my rack tom on a snare stand. I don't want it on the tom mount.
No.
And they don't do a boom stand in the Crosstown because, for obvious reasons, it would be too lopsided for the weight. But what I did is I just bought like the most basic slimline Yamaha boom stand, because that would be smaller and lighter than my Mapex stand. So I got all that last week. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I'm going to use my new head spinal G stall because sitting down for a gig for 2 hours. But I'm just going to use my old Pearl pedal as a single pedal. And then actually what I did with the boom stand is I took the boom arm out of the Yamaha stand and I put the boom arm that came with the Roland kit in it, because the top bit where the cymbal sits on, you know this on electric kits where they're sort of shaped so that the cymbal doesn't spin round.
Yeah.
So I wanted that for the ride, so the ride doesn't spin round. But that was an easy little switch out.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of it is, George, so the Yamaha
Please
Crosstown hardware, like if you get the set, the snare stand, hi-hat and two straight stands, comes with a bag, like a kind of a hold-all bag to put it in.
Yeah.
And it's not very big, but just those stands weigh less than 8 kilograms.
Yeah, see, that's mental. I'm fascinated by this.
It's insane. But also, in that bag, I can fit the three cymbal stands, the hi-hat stand, the two snare stands, the legs for my stool, like the bottom bit of the stool, my iPad stand, the floor tom legs. I think that's all that goes in it. But all that goes in this little hold-all, and you can just pick it up with one hand.
That's mental.
It's an absolute game changer.
Yeah.
Then so taking, then wheeling that huge hard case box.
Well, so can I just say, so this is my thing. So with my, we mentioned it before when I got the new Gretsch Catalina, and you said, are you going to get a new hardware set for this kit? Because, you know, it's like at the studio, I've got my big Tamastar Classic for big gigs, and then I've got the Gretsch Catalina. And as it stands, I was,
that's good. Yeah.
I was just using my hardware that I already have along with the Gretsch Catalina, and it seemed a bit counterintuitive because I've got all this, you know, I've got the new drums that are smaller and lighter, and then I've still got, anyone that's listening that's ever had to carry my hard case, my hardware case, knows that it's just so heavy. And so to have something that's 8 kg, because that's another thing, the set that you have, it's fine for me, because all I need is two cymbal stands, as we know, as I've said, I only need ride and crash, don't need boom, they were just fine the other night. I don't need a tom stand because it's on a rack, baby. Need a snare, and it comes with a snare. Need a hi-hat, comes with, like, it's all set. I'd have that hardware bag, and then kick, snare, toms, and then cymbals. But cymbal, you know, if I might even get a smaller cymbal case, and just because my one's on wheels, I might really go, right, what's the lightest I can do? But yeah, because hardware is still the heaviest part of my kit.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an absolute game changer.
Yeah. So I'm
that
glad
light hardware. It's insane.
Yeah,
how light it is. Sure, it's not as like robust in terms of, you know, the legs only go out so far. It's just smaller, but the physical effort of carrying it around or lifting it up, even just to set it up, it's just so good. I'm really sorry. Hercules has literally just shat on the floor
again.
It's like he goes, oh, Ben's doing a podcast. Time to protest.
Yeah.
He's fine. I'll clean up later. It's just, I hope he sometimes walks in it and drags it around. But
yeah.
Off you go. Yeah. Have pleased with yourself. Yeah. Anyway. So I had this first wedding gig back on Thursday last week.
So I was like, I'm gonna try the kit out.
It wasn't a sound limiter gig, although they did have a DB meter reader.
But it's very impressive, that Roland kit. Now, pros, one, it looks like a real kit. So visually on stage, it still has that wow factor of there's a drum kit on stage.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because it's in a black sparkle finish. But it's real wooden shells, you know, steel snare drum.
The kick drum, it feels like playing a kick drum.
That's good. That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
Because it's kind of it's a pad mounted in like a skin kind of thing. And then there's a jack input for the cable. The snare drum, I mean, playing a full-size snare drum just physically just feels good. Like,
yeah.
So you're just playing it exactly as you would a normal real snare. And the sensitivity and like the pads are, if you hit the pad towards the outer rim, it sounds like a snare drum being hit on the outer rim.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so depending on where you hit the skin, it does rim shots really well. And it also does cross stick.
Wow.
So if you switch to cross stick, you get the cross stick sound.
Nice.
Hi-hat, having two pads that actually go, you know, up and down on a real stand, again, just makes it feel so much more real to play and comfortable to play. Like it's just, you know, very close to playing a real kit. I'd say like the ride has 3 points of sensitivity, like bell, bow, and edge. So if you rock out on the edge, it's different to if you tap the middle and then you get the ding on the bell. What's interesting, the brain, the module, it's the TD27 module, has like a multi-core loom for the kick, the rack, the floor, and the crash cymbal. Then you just run a separate output for the second crash. But then the snare drum, the hi-hat, and the ride are all connected via separate USB cables into the module. But it was really easy to set up. Yeah, the crash sizes are 14 and 16, so they're, one's a bit smaller than normal, but they're not mentally small. What else? Yeah, it just feels like, you know, it will never be the same as playing a real kit.
No.
I mean, it never will. But at this point in time, for me, that's the closest it's ever been to playing a real kit. And I can have everything positioned exactly where I have things within my real kit. So that comfort of just natural playing and muscle memory is just there.
Yeah.
And you don't feel like a dick sat behind a little electric kit on a frame.
Yeah.
And I don't think most people would be able to tell the difference.
No.
Like the pads and the sounds are great, but I didn't have time to do it last week, but what I did yesterday in prep for the gig, because the sounds on the module are great, you know. But as is the case with a lot of things, you get people who do third parties who make stuff and it can be better than the original. So I was doing a bit of the old Googling and I found it was quite recommended. It was the eDrum Workshop. So I think just a guy, but he just makes sample packs for electric kits. And so I bought a pack which was a Yamaha Recording Custom and I think it's a Tama Star Classic. And there's two drum kits and you get three variations of each drum kit, one dry, one roomy, and one kind of compressed. So I just, very easy to do. I bought them, you load the files onto an SD card, you pop the SD card in the Roland module, you load the kits, assign them a number, job done. So the first time I actually heard these kits was at the gig last night.
Wow.
And straight off the bat, it was like, oh, these are really good. Like, I think these might be better. But I need to play around with them more. But what really amazed me with the even just the built-in Roland sounds, I found one sound I quite liked off the bat, which was called Studio C, right? And what's quite easy, and it's the easiest I've found on any electric kit, I'm not an electric kit connoisseur by any means, but I was reading the manual like a nerd. But what you can do, so let's just say you hit the snare, right? Mm. You hit the snare, and then there's four knobs on the module. So if you hit the snare, then those four knobs are going to change the snare pad. One of them is tuning, so you can just change the pitch of the drum instantly, and then it just like instantly saves it.
Yeah.
Another one is volume, so you can just change the level of each individual pad, hit it, turn it down. Good example of this was sound checking at the gig. Can you just bring the kick drum down a bit? Yep, hit it, volume down, job. Mm. That crashes a bit louder, boop.
Mm.
And then there's muffling. Mm-hmm. So you can change the muffling of the of what's on the drum.
Right.
Whether like no muffling, one moon gel, two moon gel, tape, more tape, an O-ring, full O-ring.
Wow.
Can't remember what the other knob does, but you can also then go into a more serious edit. And for example, so with the kick drum, you can do all those, and it's got a little picture. So when you do the muffling, it's got like a Evans pad, then it's got like a pillow, like, and it just fills up this picture of like deadening for your kick drum.
Wow.
But then what you can also do is you can change, for like the snare, you can change how deep the snare drum is, whether it's 5 inch, 6 inch, 6.5 inch, 7 inch. Hell. And so you can, and then you can also change how much like ambience of like room mics and overhead mics you're being put through. So you can have it really dry or more roomy. But then with the kick drum as well, you can change like how much resonance of the kick comes through.
Mm.
So if you hit the kick drum, you can hear the ring of the shells and cymbals.
Wow.
And you can change that level to be like completely dead or more resonant.
Yeah.
So it's very, very impressive
with
like all these parameters. And with those four dials straight on the module, it's incredibly quick and easy to just be like, boop.
Yeah.
I'm just going to change that quickly. Ba ba bang.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One thing I want to, because I want to use this kit for every wedding, whether there's a sound limit or not. So I'd say one of the weaker point is probably the crash cymbals.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, so my plan is to take my real cymbals as well.
Yeah.
To a gig.
Yeah.
And we're going to try this in a couple of weeks at the first freshman year gig where there's no sound restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
And then run kick, snare and toms through the module and through the PA, but use real cymbals.
Yeah.
But then if I'm in a situation where the cymbals are too loud for a sound emitter, I just put the electric ones on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what you can also do from the output of the Roland is you can have the kick and the snare in their own separate outputs.
Mm-hmm.
to the PA, and then you could run the rest of the kit through a stereo out.
Right.
So you could have the kick in channel one, and you can set the volume and EQ that separately from front of house. Same with the snare, like you do at a real wedding.
Mm.
And then you can have the toms in a stereo output, so it will be like they're mic'd up.
Wow.
And then you have real cymbals.
Yeah.
Which we don't mic up at weddings anyway.
Yeah.
So it should be the case you can have the control of level, EQ, reverb, things like that from a front of house perspective on the kick and snare individually. The toms essentially mic'd up, in inverted commas, because they're coming through the PA, which they're never mic'd up at weddings anyway.
Mm.
And then you just set all that to the level of the real cymbals.
Mm.
And then in your ears, you can control your kick and snare separately.
Yeah.
You can have the toms coming into your ears as well. And then you've just got the natural cymbals that you have anyway.
Wow.
But if the sound restriction proves to be a bit harder, you just put the electric cymbals on.
Yeah.
So like, and then I've got the lightweight hardware in one bag I can easily pick up. And then all that stuff can just be, that's what I use for weddings.
Mm.
And that covers, and it's almost going like, you know what it's like when there's a sound limit or you see it on the gig details, oh, it's got a sound limit. Like, you know, it might say like 90 dB, 95 dB. Like sometimes you turn up and it's absolutely fine. Like the sound limit is way at the back of the room. You can play normal volume.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, a mouse farts and it goes into the red.
Mm, big time.
And a gig we did last week, they were like, oh, it's a bit loud. Can you turn it down? Ox just turned the master down.
Yeah.
And I could still play. But this is interesting. So I was playing last night and there was a very strict sound limiter and it was so quiet, just the general volume of the band.
Mm.
But I was talking to Neil on the way home, like, because he was on it. I've got to learn to play that kit differently.
Mm.
Slightly differently. There's almost like a subconscious, because everything is pretty much full size and looks like a kit. When I see that sound limiter going in the red, my natural instinct was to play quieter.
Mm.
But that is irrelevant now.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how hard I hit these pads, the output volume. Yes, there is sensitivity. But what I mean is if you sound check it at full volume, you know, full.
Yeah.
So you're hitting the max, the volume the pad will give. Well, then if that level's set right, I don't need to. So there's like a disparity between how hard I'm hitting it and how loud it sounds.
Mm.
So because when you see a sound limit and you're on a real kit, you have to start physically playing quieter.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it's like, no, I could still bury the beater and I can still rim shot and hit hard.
Yeah.
Because my output volume isn't going to get any louder than what it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense.
And then as well, just with electric kit, you know, you have to just, there's always like a little bit of a nuance of hitting rides and cymbals and like that natural sort of dynamics, which you just have to be a little bit conscious of, making sure you do clean strikes and things so you're getting the right response from the electric kit. And that's why I think, like the hi-hat though, is fucking amazing. Like you just open it a little bit and it sounds like it's open a little bit, but just that natural feeling of opening and closing a hi-hat and you know, it's got shoulder sound and tipstick sound, like, and just it being on a real hi-hat stand just feels so much more natural. And I just think, like, I've taken what I wanted to do is I want to take that stress and that fear of a sound limiter, the unknown of a sound. I'm gonna take that out of my life. Take it out of my life.
Mm.
Don't have to worry anymore. Don't have to worry about it anymore.
Mm.
It's not a problem to be concerned about. Because, you know, it was a big investment. Those kits aren't cheap at all. Plus I got the extra crash and the new hardware. But I mean, I've done so many of these gigs and hopefully I'll do a lot more. Just want to make it easier. Just want to make like life easier.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I wanted to do it. I didn't want to buy an electric kit and just use it for electric kit only gigs and just spend like a good amount of money to get a good one. But then that's all it's ever used for. So no, if I invest in this, then that's the only kit I use for weddings. And then all my nice hardware and my direct drive double pedal and my Mapex and my Stage Custom Toms and all my snares and that just stays in the studio for studio use.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like what when people have...
You're gone.
Like other band members have like seen it and been like... Because I don't think many people have seen them before.
No.
And they're like, fucking hell, like it actually looks like a real...
Yeah.
And it is real wood shells, you know.
Yeah. Real drum.
But what Neil said, because Neil was on the gig me last night, so that was the first time he saw and heard it. And he said that's the least he's noticed it's been an electric kit.
Mm.
And I think a lot of that comes from physically you can see almost like a real drum kit. But then my playing is so much more replicate, like what I do on an acoustic kit is so much more replicated on this Roland kit. So it's going to sound more like my drumming to Neil. If that makes sense as well.
It does make sense. Do you think this is, you've now played a real kit live for the last time for a while at least? Because you pretty
weddings,
much only do function gigs. You don't have any real original projects. You don't play for any artists live or anything. Like this might be it. If you only, you know, if you only do weddings from here on out, you might never play a real kit live.
That's possible.
I mean, I'm sure you will, but also,
I mean, you know, Archie's mentioned about maybe playing a couple of shows with him, and in that situation, I would take a real kit.
Yeah.
You know, but yes, I'm not. I think it's interesting. Like, you know, I really enjoyed being in bands and playing live and touring and doing all that stuff, and it was great. But what I love more is playing drums in the studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like for the last couple of years, especially with like a lot of the gear I've bought or the choices I'm making for gear I'm buying is focused on like studio recording and having all those options, those sonic options of all those different snares of different materials and different size toms and all different range of size crashers and different hi-hats. So like and moving forward with where I'm going to take the studio next year, that's where I really want to put, that's where I'm going to be focusing more on that side of things. So like, I think like that's where if I'm going to push more or excel more or want to do more of is studio stuff. So like I'm not bothered about being a live session drummer. I want to be a studio session drummer. And so in that situation, but I will still go and play functions for money. So in that situation, if that's the only kit I ever play live again, cool.
Yeah.
It's really fun to play.
Yeah.
Like it's really, and if anything, like it kind of got me excited.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I get to play with this new toy, like this very expensive, shiny new toy. And even just that, I think, blurring that line between real and electronic is so blurred now. Like that kit is, and I'm sure like the DW, their e-kit is similar. Like I've seen the F-Note kits as well. Like they're ridiculous at the sort of quality now you're getting. And but even just like, yeah, loading in these sample packs, and I didn't tweak anything, but this Yamaha Recording Custom VST, you know, this virtual instrument on this Roland, I was like, this fucking sounds amazing. But I'm also hoping as well, not just with sound limit gigs, I'm hoping it works better the other way. You know, when you go and play like a massive fucking boomy room.
Yeah.
And like, there might not even be a volume issue, but you hit that snare drum.
Yeah.
And it just echoes for days. Yeah. Like, yeah, sound's going to echo whatever the sound is, but to sometimes when you're doing front of house and you the drums are just booming in this huge room, you just struggle to get the vocals to sit above it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, well, even this just gives you a sense of control over the overall volume. So like you don't have to have the drums that loud, but they'll still sing, and then it makes front of house mixing better. But I think the key for me is the option to use electronic or real cymbals and having that flexibility on the day, because a cymbal bag doesn't take up a huge amount of space, and having that those separate outputs for kick and snare, and the lightweight hardware. Like, it should be, you know, it's a big difference. And like you're seeing with guitarists now, they're going ampless. They're just going through amp sims. Like, and I think it's hard to commit to that because it's not the same as playing a real drum kit. And I don't think it ever will be, but it's fucking close. And if that makes my life easier, I can still enjoy it. And I just have to learn how to play it.
Yeah.
In terms of like whatever the volume coming out is, I can still hit this thing. I don't need to be physically be the restriction on the volume myself. Let the master fader do that.
Yeah.
I can still play this like I would a real kit, but without that disparity of the actual volume versus how hard you're hitting something. Just need to get used to that. But it's very exciting. I feel very like, oh, this is cool. Like, I've committed. And at the end of the day, George, they're only fucking weddings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're only weddings. So who cares?
Well, they are. They are. I mean, I think, you know, I think that's probably our only ever criticism is we probably talk about them too much, because to a lot of people, it is just something they just do on the side, and it isn't anything, you know, anything special. No one talks about them. Like, it's sort of, it's not something people put on their Instagrams, but everyone does it. It's like a dirty secret doing a wedding. You know, the amount of drummers I talk to that just, they're like, yeah, I do them, but I'll never ever talk about doing them, because it's almost not embarrassing, but it's like, it's not something I want to be known for. So it's like, yeah, just bring an electric
kit. They're not, cause who, you know, cares? It's not cool. It's not cool, but fundamentally, we're getting paid well to play drums.
Exactly.
And like, and for me, doing them enables me to dick about in a studio.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, yeah,
run,
yeah, yeah.
Run a studio,
yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, not taking that away. That's what.
But yeah,
that's
but
what
fundamentally, like, you know, if an artist approached me about doing some original, there's no way I'd use it.
No.
You know, I'd be very hard pushed to use the new Roland.
Yeah.
For that. But I get all my real acoustic kit satisfaction from the studio. And so yeah, no, it's just, but you know what it's like when you play a sound limiter on an acoustic kit, it's just horrible. And you're just tapping it and it's just like, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas at least with this, it's like, it's a new cool fun toy I can play, and I can just play normally and the volume's not an issue. But I also like the, how good can I get this sound in, like how convincing, whether it's like tweaking the muffling, tweaking the blend of ambient mics in the sample, like how can I, having the separate outputs, maybe it is using real cymbals, maybe it's just using a real crash, you know, like is there that perfect little blend, but then having that flexibility where you go like, oh, can you just deaden the kick drum a bit? Just turn a dial, you know. But yeah, it's very interesting.
That's great.
So a big investment, but I think it, you know, we spoke ages ago about like, is that the way forward? Creating a hybrid kit, having that ability at gig to be like, oh, I can just use silent cymbals, or I can just, oh, have mesh heads with triggers on one side and acoustic skin on the other. Can I just flip the drum round if I, you know? And for me, this was the, you know, I didn't want to create something myself. And the VAD 504 is just a four-piece setup, so it's one rack, one floor. They do a 507 maybe, or where there's two rack toms and a floor, and you get the second crash. But I didn't need that. So it was like the perfect little setup. Plus as well, like it's a 20-inch kick and it's a 10-inch rack and a 14-inch floor, so it is slightly smaller. You know, it's like your Gretsch kit. But the, I mean, a big thing, yeah, that's lightweight hardware, fucking hell. Oh.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, that is next
on my list. So it's just like, just going, this is the setup for weddings now.
Yeah.
Whether there's a sound limiter or not, this is what I'm going to be playing. And how good can I get it to sound? But fundamentally,
it's easier to transport, the hardware's lighter, and I can play it like a real kit.
Yeah.
So
it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Anything else to talk about?
I don't think so, mate.
No.
But thank you for everyone listening. Go follow the Instagram.
Yeah.
Go like and subscribe or whatever it is. Follow us, Spotify, Apple
Thanks
Podcasts.
For getting us to number two now on FeedSpot, whatever that means.
That's the real quiz. That's the real chart, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm milking that. I'm putting that up anytime, anytime I see it. You know, it's based on traffic and freshness and listens, so we'll take that, you know.
Can we get to number one?
Yeah, well, this is it. We've got one more person.
And then we're out of here. And then we're done.
Yeah. I'll quickly say I played tennis with James Gillingham the other night in preparation for playing Jack Hickling in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
They're both listeners of the pod. And I've been trash talking Jack any chance I can get. So you're going down, Jack. I don't care if you used to be a pro. Get ready for this ace. You know what I mean?
But, lovely stuff.
Yeah, James is mental. If he's listening, he's mental. He's like playing tennis against David Goggins or something. I thought he's going to tire at some point, but no, he was like, let's keep going.
He's wiry, isn't he?
He's mental. It was brilliant. Afterwards, he was like, I thought you were wanting to stop. I was like, no, I thought you were. He's like, no. He said, I don't... If I leave a... exercise or a physical activity not feeling like I've fucked myself, then I'm not happy. And I was like, we've got a lot of in common, me and you, James, you know what I mean? Can't burp, play drums, and
love to fuck yourself,
love to fuck ourselves, you know, self-harm through exercise. Anyway, that's all I got.
I do that, but through eating. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Drum and Drummer. You can find us on Instagram at Drum and Drummer Podcast. And you can send us an email to drumanddrummerpod@gmail.com. Remember, just pick up the sticks and twat it.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.